Sickle cell conditions are inherited from parents in much the same way as blood type, hair color and texture, eye color and other physical traits. My name is Seth Kwame Boateng, and in the second episode of this Hotline series, I tell you the overwhelming stories of people who live with a sickle cell disease.
My name is Dr. Charles Adeyebo. Pediatrics is what I do for a living. I have subspecialized training in hematology, and that involves sickle cell disease and other blood diseases of children. Very often, it is not the fault of the individual who has a sickle cell disease. It's actually a meeting of minds of the parents. And certain decisions were not made right, either because of lack of information or people just didn't care. When I say genes, these are the things that determine who we are. Whether you're going to look like your father, your hair is going to look like your father or your mother, it's all determined by a program on genes.
My only two children I brought into the world had sickle cell condition. So I started very early trying to understand this disease, which I had no knowledge about it until I had my first baby who had sickle cell. That was when I was pregnant with the second one. Why don't we talk about this so that people get informed before they go into relationship? They asked me to call my husband to come and be tested. He was also tested and was AS, and I was AS. If you know how serious the condition is, I don't think if you're a carrier, you're going to marry another carrier. If people should go through pain like going through labor pain, labor, a woman who has had a child before, five children, and she has sickle cell. She said, labor is not as painful as sickle cell crisis.
Meet Charlotte Owusu, a 60-year-old woman who retired voluntarily from her teaching job to preach about sickle cell. At the time she got married, Charlotte and her husband did not know about the disease, and they gave birth. The lives of their children were filled with so much pain from sickle cell attacks. The pain also birthed frustration, which cost her marriage dearly. And this is the mistake more and more people are making at times due to sheer ignorance, and other times in the name of love, and as a result inflicting pain on their innocent children.
Some of them rebel by not even taking their drugs. You've got to really comfort them, and it shouldn't be only a mother's care. People who have grown with it and they know their parents knew, they always accuse them that because they love each other, they've brought them into the world in this condition. When two are together, they can better take care of these children. But you know our system in Africa. When you have married someone with whom you've had children who are not healthy, the family will come in. So the family came in and there was separation. You know, they feel that if you people separate because of your condition, that's why you've had these children with this. So why not go and find another woman, or why not go and find another man to have healthy children with? But then if one runs away and leaves the children or the child with the other partner, how can he or she alone manage? It hasn't been easy, but I thank God for the experience I've gone through.
What didn't make it easy?
The crisis they go through, the amount of money you put in to get them well. You've got to feed them well. You've got to monitor every part of their lives.
Charlotte single-handedly took care of her two children. She showed real love to the children and provided all their needs, hoping that they would live long enough and become responsible citizens. Unfortunately, a terrible sickle cell attack snuffed off the life of the girl.
When she went into the day school, unfortunately, her classroom was under a story building. And you know, air blows into buildings under a story. And she developed pneumonia through that. When she had it, we didn't notice it was pneumonia. And you know, she wouldn't cough. It was just headache, a little bit of pain here and there. We went to Gulebo. She was put in the emergency. The next morning, she was up all right, but with the oxygen on her, we were transferred to the ward. I had to leave her, go and come. I was the first to get up. when we were going to visit her. My people were behind me. In fact, when I was leaving the ward, I told the next girl sleeping by her, oh, look after her, I will be back by 4 when it's the visiting time. So when I went in and I asked, where is my, I told her, I told her, where is my daughter? And she just did her hand, so she just waved her hands. She doesn't know. She was gone. It was just like, she's gone. What can you do? I started weeping. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh Anasaria. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, the man who
Anasaria. The road ahead when having children with the sickle cell disease is always filled with sorrow and agony. And losing a child through it is extremely difficult to bear. And there is a tall list of medical reasons behind why Charlotte and her husband produced these sickle cell children, as Dr. Charles Aduyebo explains.
Normally, people carry 2 genes, one from the father, one from the mother, to produce what we call hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is what makes the red cells look red. The gene that leads to the production of the normal hemoglobin we call hemoglobin A. There are other quote-unquote unusual or abnormal hemoglobins that are in the human race. S is one such gene. It means that you have the gene for the production of an abnormal hemoglobin called hemoglobin S. You can also have a gene for the production of another type of hemoglobin, hemoglobin C. During the mating process, one parent supplies one gene and the other parent supplies the other gene. They come together and the individual is formed, who then will carry 2 genes, one from each parent. So let us say that you had AA and your wife is AS. It means that you will have children who, for every pregnancy, you have no chance of getting SS because you have to inherit one from both sides. But you can have somebody who is AS like your wife. But if you have AS and you marry somebody who is AS, then for every pregnancy, you have a 1 in 4 chance of producing an SS. The SS individuals are sick, usually. It's a condition that goes with a lot of morbidity. If you are AS and you marry somebody who is AC, when you go and do the test, it says you are sickle negative if you are AC. But because one parent has an abnormal hemoglobin, which is an S, the S combining with a C gives you an SC. Unfortunately, they are also sick.
This means you can prevent your children from suffering this perpetual pain and agony if you are aware of your status and you make the right choice in terms of settling on a partner. Counselors like Reverend Dr. J. Mensah of Calvary Baptist Church meet with to-be couples always and makes this known to them. Unfortunately, he says some rather go for the risk.
I know one case where the lady was SS and the guy was AA. The implication is that marrying an SS woman, you have to be prepared to take care of her in times of crisis, and even in pregnancy, it's a very difficult time for them. So you have to be a man and stand by her. And they went on and got married, and lo and behold, during pregnancy, they had crisis. We have to go there, pray with them anyway, not to tell them, we told you so, but just pray and encourage them, because they were deeply committed in their love, in their relationship.
When you are counseling them, how easy is it for them to accept what you are telling them?
We don't exactly tell them they can't go on. We tell them the implications of that medical condition. Normally, you get the ladies, they feel sad, but if a man wants to move on or go ahead, he will be that robust and say, don't worry, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you, no matter happen. I will be around you.
Love doesn't ask why. Speaks from the heart and never explains. Don't you know that love doesn't think twice? It can come all at once, a whisper from a distance. Don't ask me if this feeling's right.
Some foresee the pain and avoid it, as in the case of Amayeboa, as I have named her in this documentary. The 23-year-old is reading social science at the University of Ghana.
I was in a relationship with a boy that was a career, AS. We were young and everything, so we used to say, by the time you are ready to have kids, I'm sure there will be this medicine that will be able to help. Maybe religion can help cure the sickle cell and everything. But it got to a point, he was getting pressure from a lady in an NGO, sickle cell NGO, of course, to break up with me because she thought it was not going to go anywhere. So he ended the relationship. And I was angry at him for long. I had to meet the lady one time because they were having this event, and I met her, and she actually sat with me and told me that if I wanted to have very healthy kids, if I wanted to have kids that won't suffer like the way I'm suffering, then I should just end the thing. And I didn't want to. I was hoping for a miracle, sort of. We used to talk about it. I'll tell him, oh, you wait, when we reach the bridge, we'll cross it. Finally, he just had to give in to the woman, so he broke up with me.
Did that affect you in any way?
I was sad. I was heartbroken. I used to say boys were wicked and stuff like that, but I think it was for the right reason. I don't want to have children that will have sickle cell. I don't want them to suffer like I have. I want to have healthy kids.
Many, like her, suffer a lot of failed relationships and heartbreak. Amayebua was a brilliant biological science student, but she had to be repeated twice because of her condition. Her crisis comes most often during examination periods. Ama is rushed to the hospital and she misses out on her papers. She should have been through with her tertiary education some 2 years ago, but Ama is still in school. Even though she is well now, Ama says she is living with the constant fear and anxiety that the next severe attack might be her last.
At times when I'm praying, I ask God, like, why me? I don't want to have sickle cell. I kind of live in fear sometimes. A lot of people around me with sickle cell have died. And I do stuff that I think I'm not supposed to do. And they were doing the same thing too. So at times I'm there and I'm like, hey, what if I fall sick? Am I going to die tomorrow? Like, will I be able to have my own kids? Will I be able to go through all of that pain? At times I feel like I might die young and I'll have to watch my mom bury me and stuff like that. But I know it's not going to happen to me. I believe it, so I know I'll grow up and have my own family.
I shall not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Who would die? Who better not say? Now I beg you for a time for a more country.
Not only does the disease come with excruciating pain, Dr. Yobo says it is associated with a lot more complications.
You can have a fracture in the brain and have a stroke. So you have little children getting strokes because they have brain infarction from sickle cell. You can have children with yellow eyes. It's because the red cells are breaking down very quickly. During certain situations, the breakdown is faster. And then the liver is not clearing them quickly, so you see the yellowness of the eye. When your cells are breakdown, it means that you have fewer cells and you become anemic. You become pale. The effect of the anemia on the body is tremendous. Your energy level is low. You can go into heart failure because your blood level is too low, and you can just die. The other issue, it affects your potency. They get what we call priapism, painful erection of the penis, which is not easily reversed. During the erection, the various tissues are supposed to fill the blood. Now, during the sickling process, the blood goes in there, but the relief mechanism and return mechanism is impeded. So now you have a painful erection, which is not going down. And they have to undergo certain types of surgery, which leads to impotence. So it's a real problem.
People with the sickle cell condition sometimes have leg ulcers. The ulcers are often disabling and they tend to be indolent, healing slowly over months to years. The pain may be severe, excruciating, penetrating, sharp, and stinging in nature.
It has to do with the supply of blood and oxygen to various parts of the tissue, which is compromised in some areas because of the sickling process. The sore situation, again, can be a challenge. There are several ways to manage it.
And sometimes you have to do exchange transfusion or serial transfusions in order to get it to heal properly. And you can actually have actual involvement of the bone. So not only do you have a sore, but the bone is actually involved, and we call it osteomyelitis.
Some studies say these leg ulcers are more common in males and their incidence increases with age. Kwame Champon, 21-year-old final year general arts student of Adan Senior High Technical School, can relate.
At first, I wanted to become engineer, but because of my situation, when I found out like the problems I sometimes go through, the teacher who took me through these things, he was like, current things, this engineer is all about working and lots of those things, and my health can't like contain those things, so I changed to administration. So I want to become an administrator now.
Kwame is a sickle cell patient and has a leg ulcer. When school reopened this year, Kwame spent 23 days home hoping to have his wound healed.
It's okay in the form of wounds, and if it's not treated very fast, it expands. It started in school. By then, we were writing exams 2 weeks to vacation. So I can't afford to miss the exams. So my parents were asking me to come by. I was like, we will be writing exams next week, so I have to finish it. So when I finished, when I came home, it became worse. When we went to the hospital, the doctor was like, oh, it's because I wasted time and now it's very big. It's healing, but it heals very slow.
Bearing pain is a constant fact of life for people living with sickle cell, and as if this is not enough, our society attaches stigma to the condition. Kwame suffers a lot of stigma in school, and this further worsens his plight.
Before I was admitted, there was a medical forms attached to my admission forms. So the housemaster saw that, yes, this, that is wrong with me. So anytime it's time for work, it's like, I'll join them and we all go in group. As soon as we get there, the housemaster will call me, no, you come. Go back to the dormitory and go and like sleep or go and sit. So as I said, teacher will ask, why? Then they will say, oh, he's a sickler. So some of these things made my friends to know. That really made me sad. If there's a quarrel between me and someone else, no matter like the way the situation, they'll just come in, oh, Jaija, remember no, you're yari for those things. They'll be mocking me with that thing. And especially in games, Saturdays, as soon as they put on their boots, everything to go for jogging, cadets, as soon as I just do something like that, hey, it will be like something like surprise to them. Hey, okay, okay, jogging, okay. Something like, I can't really go, I can't really do it with them.
According to Dr. Ivy Ikem, a senior lecturer at the Ghana Medical School and a consultant hematologist at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, such attitude from the society at times pushes them to even think of ending their lives.
It's sad because we, the rest of the population, I think, also make it that way. Even in the health institutions, in that when somebody comes, the person has sickle cell disease, then everything else is because the person has sickle cell disease, and we may not necessarily give them as much attention as we ought to. So we are encouraging everybody. We should encourage them, teach them what to do to help themselves, and encourage them to live.
And this stigma and the other complications that come with the disease one day got Kwame Champon to think of committing suicide.
It got to a point I was very sick, and any time I comes to bed, it's like, kill yourself, kill yourself. Any small time, they'll rush me to the hospital. So it got to a point I was like, hey, mommy, look at the situation you are in now. She ain't sick. And I'm so the BS me, I need me hospital, you could hospital with bill. And I mean, come on, I mean, call. So at once, when I said that, she became annoyed. She was like, I should never and ever say that thing again. But in me, you know, I feel pain. It's true. I really feel pain a lot in me.
Sickle cell disease is chronic, but treatable, and it's not a death sentence. But a lot of money is needed to get the required treatment. Many years ago, children with sickle cell disease rarely lived to become adults. Today, the outlook for patients with the disease has improved significantly. Thanks to new treatment and therapies, many people with the disease are now living into their 70s and 80s. Madam Beatrice Jamira, a retired nurse at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, is an example.
I'm 72 years. Because of the sores on my legs, my friends were calling me